first, we're going to head on up to the Mobile Tensaw Delta. We're going to be talking with Captain Wayne Miller. Wayne, what do you think about this rain, man? How's it going to affect things?
Well, I tell you what, Joe, it finally ran me in this week. I've been on the water every day, but I decided to take a day off today. You know, I really don't think it's going to, you know, negatively affect the fishing that much. You know, it's just a dreary day, obviously. But, you know, depending on how much rain we get, you know, it'll definitely stain up and muddy up some of the, you know, the headwater on some of the creeks. I don't anticipate it to greatly affect the main rivers. And from the standpoint of the bass fishing, that's really where it's been happening. Because, you know, over the last few weeks, you know, we've talked about it, and we're seeing that water temperature come down. It's bumping into high 70s, right around 80 degrees now. But, you know, we've seen about a 5-6 degree drop in that water temperature. But we're still probably between 5 and 10 degrees above what we would normally be this time of year. So the fish really piling up in the creeks that we typically see, you know, in the fall, going into the winter here on the Delta, you know, we hadn't seen that really take off yet.
Yeah, so, they're still out in the main rivers.
Yeah, still a lot of fish out in the main river. And, you know, something I wanted to mention to everybody is I had some really good trips this week, and I've had several people mention to me, they say, man, I thought it was a nip tide on Monday and Tuesday. Well, indeed it was, but one thing that I think a lot of people fall victim to is, you know, they look at tide charts, and I know the Alabama Marine Information Calendar is one that most people use. I mean, a lot of people, you know, you can pick those up at any of the, you know, sporting goods stores, but it's a bar graph. And what it does, it basically shows that it's a nip tide on these days. But if you get a chart or you go online and really delve into that information, what you find is a lot of times on these nip tides, you actually have a high and a low tide happen several times during the day. It's just there's very little change in the, you know, the level of the water.
Where do you look when you're looking at these charts? And it, you know, I think if folks are doing what I'm doing, they're looking at that chart and they're looking at the line. You know, you see the big wavy line. You know, you got a high, big high, and a big low. And if you got kind of a flat line, you know, it's a neap tide.
Yeah.
What specifically are you looking at to identify when that high, when that low is?
Well, if you you know, I mean, there's a bunch of different websites. What I would encourage people to do is get online and look for tide charts for the Mobile Tensaw Delta. And I don't remember the exact name of a bunch of them, but what you want to do is find one that doesn't show any kind of bar graph. It actually shows the times and the difference in the water level.
Right.
In other words, it'll show if there's two high tides and two low tides for the day. It'll show you those exact times, because what I experienced this week was both Monday and Tuesday, I was on the water both days, and those periods where that water moved, man, it was dynamite. I mean, the fish fed like crazy. So even on days where it looks like it's a nip tide, you can't write those off, because even the minimal amount of water movement that you get at times can be phenomenal fishing.
Wayne, it's almost like if somebody would just publish a magazine that had a tide chart for the Mobile Tensaw Delta, maybe even like some prime feeding times in it, that'd be a really good thing.
Yeah, buddy. Sure would.
Oh. You know, well, what about those main rivers? Let's talk about that a little bit. When you're working a main river, what do you like to do to prospect and kind of get started? And right now, how long are you waiting around? I've been talking with some of the guys on the saltwater side, and they said the bite's been kind of slow. So we got just about 30 seconds here. So tell me a little bit of just how you prospect the bigger water.
Well, you know, right now, you know, primarily what I'm doing is I focus most of my energy around main cuts In other words, like creek mouths, ditch mouths, because a lot of these fish, even though that migration has not taken place yet, it's on the verge of happening. So on the river systems, there's a lot of fish piled up around these, you know, creek mouths and, yeah. And, you know, they'll be moving up in there. And that's always a great place to start. And the only other real thing that you look for is any kind of bait activity. I mean, if you see shrimp jumping or, you know, any kind of fish feeding, you know, that's a good area to investigate.
All right, Captain Wayne, thanks for the report. Let's
Joe, one other thing I did want to mention to everybody real quick. They've got a high school tournament with approximately 200 boats going out of Live Oak this Saturday. And I mention it just to let everybody know a lot of these people are going to be from out of town. So there'll be a lot of unfamiliar people on our waterways. So, you know, be extremely vigilant if you go out Saturday, just to make sure, because we'll have a lot of additional boat traffic out there this weekend.
All right. Thank you, Wayne.
Okay.
Well, speaking of a familiar face on the local waterways, we got Mike Thompson. Mike, how is the fishing down around the causeway?
The fishing is getting better every day, Joe.
That's good to hear.
Every incoming tide, we get more and more salt water, more and more salt water fish.
Well, let's talk about some of those fish. I know you told me there's been some really nice flounder being caught.
Oh, yeah. Man, I tell you what, we've been yearning for the flounder for years, and every year it's been the same thing. A little trickle here, a little trickle there. Well, it's not a deluge, but there's a lot of flounder being caught here recently. People are catching them mostly in the rivers. And, you know, on the causeway, you could be talking about the Raft River, the Spanish River, the Tensaw River. All those places are holding flounder. And they seem to be holding off of shallow, sandy flats. And the guys that are catching them are usually fishing for specks or reds, and they're dragging a live shrimp across there. And old flatfish sees that shrimp and slams it.
Yeah.
And everybody's, you know, amazed at what they're pulling up, because, you know, you catch an unexpected flounder and it's a pound and a half, you're pretty doggone happy. But when you catch a 4 to 5 pounder, you're just ecstatic.
Yeah.
There's several people caught some beautiful fish, beautiful flounders this week. Local Trini Woodham won the tournament down at Deer River last weekend with a 6.4 flounder. It was a beautiful fish. I saw some Facebook pictures of Marcus Kennedy and his fishing buddy Scott Jordan with some nice flounder. They all look to be 2.5 to 4 pound fish. And one of my good buddies, fishing partner, Charlie Carpenter, he caught almost a 5 pounder up near Chugfee.
Wow.
So, man, they're all over the place. And they're all catching them on live bait.
Huh. Well, you know, as I've fished in a few different places outside of our area for flounder, and, you know, a standard rig around here and that I've always used is just a Carolina rig, you know, with a bull minna and a kale hook, something like that. But I've seen some rigs, especially if you get up into the Northeast, those guys do all kind of crazy stuff with flounder, with spinners. And have you seen anybody using anything new or different to really focus on flounder around here and also on the artificial side?
Well, you know, I remember you giving us a tip about a big mullet and then a smaller bait behind, a smaller bait or a grub behind it. But one of the things, I haven't really seen a lot of people around here use it, but it's real popular on the East Coast, is they'll use the Carolina rig, and then on that leader, that 20-inch leader, they'll put a small, like a brim cork. And what they're doing is the lead weight is on the bottom, but you're making that bull minnow or whatever minnow you're using, you're making him suspend above the bottom.
I see.
And you ease it along, and it gives more visibility to the minnow, and I assume, you know, that's the idea behind it.
Interesting. Well, I know the red fishing has been hot. Are you hearing the same thing out of the causeway?
It's unbelievable, the red fish. They're catching them everywhere, too. They're catching them from Dog River up to the Mobile River, and all the rivers on the causeway, over at the Daphne Pylons. It's live shrimp, fresh dead shrimp, gulp swimming mullet, plenty of redfish. Now the specs are moving up. They're moving up, and I keep talking about it each week. They're not quite there. There's plenty of specs in the Delta, but they're not in them big, giant clusters that you can go in there and pluck a lemon out of with ease. Now, I talked to a guy the other day that caught 60-some-odd trout at one place, but out of the 60, only one was big enough to keep.
Well,
he was using live shrimp.
And speaking of smaller trout, I know the white trouts have been on fire as well. Have you been hearing the same thing?
Not so much way up that way.
Okay.
You know, you got to go a little farther down the bay on some of the man-made reefs to catch those white trout right now.
Well, what about some of our other Delta species? Are you hearing anything in terms of catfish and kind of some of the, you know, the thing that's fun about the fall is you start to catch bass along with your trout, and you catch a redfish one cast, and you maybe catch a catfish the next. Anything going on in that realm?
Well, one of the guys that I fish with, I call him Bassman Ray. He loves to catch bass on live shrimp, and he caught 23 bass the other day fishing a grass edge looking for redfish.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, well, good deal. All right, Mike. Well, thanks for that report.
All right.
Well, our next fishing report is coming from a guy we just never know where in the heck he's going to be. We got Captain Richard Rutland on the line with Cold Blooded Fishing. Captain Richard, where you at, man?
Man, I'm trying to stay warm and dry in the house today doing some rod and reel maintenance. I had a reel go overboard the other day in the salt water, so I've been breaking it down, cleaning everything, putting it back together, making sure all my gear is good to go.
Well, that sounds captivating.
How's the fishing been? I'm gonna need it as soon as the rain's over, because, man, the fishing's been unbelievable at the first part of this week. The Delta and the fall pattern that we're used to is really starting to come together. Looks like most of the fish are trying to move up into the rivers, and the water's been nice and clean in the Delta and in most of the rivers right now. Looks like we're not getting a ton of rain today so far, so we'll keep our fingers crossed that none of it gets boogered up.
Major estuaries like Dog River, Fowl River, you know, are those holding fish as well?
They are. I know for a fact Dog River's really starting to turn on. Well, I say turn on. There's fish are moving in there right now, starting to see big schools of little fish kind of show up on the flats and catching a couple of good keepers here and there. I got a good report from Fowl River that it's starting to come together down there. And then, of course, like I said, I've been up in the Delta a lot, and that's really starting to come together.
Well, I got to ask you, have you been back out after those cobia at all?
No, not since the last time I was out there was about a week ago yesterday, and we did good. I had one day, I think I fished out offshore Monday and Tuesday last week. On Monday, I think we caught 14. We released a bunch of keeper-sized fish and a couple of small ones. The bite was really good in close. And then Tuesday, I did equally as well. And but I'm not sure that they're still around or not with this last cold front we had come through. And then we got, looks like the weather's going down into the upper 50s through the week. So kind of looking for that to taper off.
Yeah, I would imagine so. But I mean, heck, I'd give it a shot a few more times if you're inclined to do it. They got to go away sometime. But heck, I mean, they were still there as of a week ago.
I know. So that's what I was thinking. If I get an opportunity where I don't have a customer and I got a free day, I'm definitely going to go check on it. But I think we're about another two cold fronts away from probably, you know, being full fledged, it being on fall fishing, you know, conditions here before long. The water temperature's coming down nicely, and I'm tickled to death that it's about to be here.
It's one of the best times of the year to fish around here, in my opinion. Growing up on Fowl River, that was, you know, November and December, man. I just licked my chops waiting for those 2 months. Nice and cool, and you don't have to worry about the weather too much. You're nice and protected, and a lot of nice fish to be caught.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about that time of, you know, this time of year, is it can be blowing 20 knots, and you can get in one of those rivers and hide somewhere and not have to fight the conditions quite as hard as other times of the year when you're fishing open water.
Richard, how important is live bait right now?
I'm kind of right on the verge of switching, you know what I mean? As the water temperatures cool off, you'll be able to get away with using artificial only pretty much. Right now I'm using a mix of both. I'm probably buying like 100 or 120 shrimp every trip. And I'll get one or two of my guys throwing live bait and then one or two of my guys throwing artificial. And a lot of times now it's, you're seeing a little bit of both. Sometimes they really want the live bait and I'll kind of switch everybody over to that. And then I'll usually just let the fishing tell me what they want. But we're getting into a period where they're really eating artificial is great. You know, using a voodoo shrimp under a popping cork, caught several nicer size fish earlier this week on slick lures.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of fun. I always get tickled when I get to start throwing that slick lure again when it cools off. And but I'm right on the verge at like, and as I said, as the water temperatures keep on coming down, you're going to be able to use artificial only pretty much.
All right, Captain Richard Rutland, Cold-Blooded Fishing. Thanks for the report, Richard.
Man, thank y'all for having me. Y'all have a good weekend.
Let's head on up to Pickwick Lake and talk with Captain Brad Whitehead. Brad, I got a question for you. The IGFA world record, all tackle record for smallmouth bass is 11 pounds, 15 ounces. Dale Hollow Lake in Tennessee. What is the Pickwick record?
The Pickwick record is a little over 10 pounds. We held it for a long time. Actually, it come on Wilson, which is still the Tennessee River chain of lakes. But 10 and some change. I'm not exactly sure the exact weight of it, but it was well over 10 pounds.
Man, that's an amazing fish. How's the smallmouth fishing been?
You just caught me actually getting minnows. It is raining, gloomy day, and that is perfect for smallmouth. We've got a group coming in here in about an hour, and I hope to make them happy before they leave, because this is a perfect day to catch it. We've got current, cloud cover, and rain. That's a perfect smallmouth day.
What are the water levels like there on Pickwick Lake?
Now, I haven't personally checked them, but just as far as what I'm looking at right now, we're down about 3 feet, which it'll continuously start to decline. Normally, and we are getting up on November, but normally the first 2 weeks of November is when they start to make that decline to winter pool.
Now, you love this live bait fishing. We've talked a little bit about it in the past. What about smallmouth lures? Can you use lures there on Pickwick?
Oh, no doubt, no doubt.
What do you like? What do you feel like are the best in your tackle box?
Without a shadow of a doubt, there's two baits that probably catch more smallmouth than actually live bait, if you want to know the truth. It's a swim bait and a jig. Those are the two baits that pretty much dominate, you know, here on Pickwick is a swim bait, a 4 to 5 inch swim bait. I actually use a Charlie Brewer slider swim bait that they come out with a couple of years ago. It's a 5 inch. And then like a Strike King jig, 3/4 ounce, something heavy that you can move fast or you know, fish deep water. So that's the two baits. If you come to Pickwick, you better have any tackle box.
Let's key in on that swim bait a little bit. When you're working that bait, are you casting it out and then, you know, counting for a little while, letting it get to a particular depth that you've identified as a good spot? How do you work that bait?
Well, as me being a guide here, and we try to make it as simple as we can, one of the things that we do is basically throw it to where we want to, you know, cover, let it go to the bottom, and make a steady swim all the way back to the boat.
Okay.
Nothing fast, nothing too slow. You got to think, we're putting it on a 3/4 or 1 ounce head, so it's going to drop as you're reeling it. So you're able to cover a lot of water, and you don't have to get really, really technical, you know, for some of these guys that don't get to fish that much.
That makes a lot of sense. Are there any particular things to watch out for? I know you do a lot of fishing there around the dam. Give me a few safety tips as far as how to navigate.
It's real easy, and we've had several discussions on the water. Some of them kind of got, you know, it didn't go as planned, but if you're unfamiliar with fishing below these dams, one of the things you need to do before you get within a couple of hundred yards of these dams, stop the boat and watch. You're going to be able to tell the guys that have that fish up there all the time. They're going to let you know where the rock piles are, where to run your boat, and, you know, try to stay away from the guys that are anchored. Most of these guys are local guys, and, you know, just courtesy. Just take the time to watch and see what everybody else is doing before you run up there, you know, against them. on any given day, I say any given day, any given tournament, they'll be within 40 to 60 boats at these dams. So it can get real dangerous. And like I said, one of the things, just stop and watch everybody before you get up around them.
All right, Brad. Well, folks, y'all check out Captain Brad Whitehead on Facebook and book you a trip. Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, buddy. See you later.
All right, let's head on over to Lake Martin to talk with Captain David Hare. Captain David, I got a question for you. Are those striped bass moving yet?
They are. They had been, a little bit of everywhere, but sort of scattered. And, this is the time of year we call it sort of a transition period. And they're sort of moving out of the, what I call the south end of the lake, and starting to move toward the middle part of the lake, and even further north later on. The water temp's down to about 73, so these fish are starting to bunch together, or as some people call it, schooling together now. So you can fish for more than just single fish. You're starting to get to where you can just stop on a school of fish and fish right on top of them now.
What water temperature do you look for them to make that transition?
Well, every year, it's usually around the end of October.
So it's more time of year rather than you're not looking for a particular water temperature.
Well, you want it to be below 80.
Okay.
That's when you'll start seeing them start grouping back together. We sort of went from, and I know everybody has, but we sort of went from real hot weather to now cold weather. Sort of wasn't anything in between.
Mm-hmm.
So the water temperature sort of seems like dropped a good bit at one time. And just sort of like overnight, these fish just sort of started grouping together again.
What are the Lake Martin water levels like right now?
Well, October the 15th was the date that they were supposed to start pulling the lake down to our normal winter pool level, which is 7 feet below full pool. But they're working on Thurlow Dam, which is below Martin Dam. My understanding is they're working on some gates down there, so they're holding the water a little longer than normal. Right now, it might be down a foot from full pool. It had gotten down to about 2 or 2.5 feet, and they've let it come back up some with a few rains we've had. So now my understanding is they'll start dropping our water sometime the first part of November. And when I say drop it, they're not going to drop it all at one time. They'll just let it start easing down.
Will that have an effect on the fishing?
I personally like it when it's down. I actually liked it when it was down 10 feet from full pool every winter. It just sort of concentrates these stripers a little bit better, and you don't have as much water to cover. But to answer your question, no, not really. It might move them a little further out on the points a little more. But it's just because you don't have as much water up to the bank,
Quick question, David. As far as scent goes, how important is scent? Like if you're throwing a bucktail, a jig, something like that, do you need to have something like a pork rind, an Uncle Josh on there? Or can you get away with just going scentless?
Of course, for the stripers, it's scentless, period. For the bass, and I'm not a big bass fisherman. Of course, I've got bass guides. But, yes, sir, they'll tell you you need some scent on there. But I personally can't tell you a whole lot about the bass.
Well, Captain David, if folks want to book a trip and catch some of those legendary Lake Martin stripers, how do they get in touch with you?
The best way to get me is either call or text me at 256-401-3089. And from here on out, all through the winter, this fishing will just get better and better. These stripers love this cold weather fishing.
All right. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a good week.
All right. Let's head on up to Miller's Ferry and talk with Joe Dunn. Joe, how's the fishing been?
Oh, it's getting really good now. The water's done cleared up real good. at temperatures starting to drop a little bit. We went from mid-80s to mid-70s. So, you know, that anything's helping when you drop about 10 degrees. So about, I'd say, another 10 degrees is when it's going to super explode. But, I mean, things are starting to pick up now. I was catching some crappie last weekend out in the river, but I was having to kind of fool around in the middle of those tops and about, you know, 20, 25 foot of water, just dropping a minnow down inside of them, shaking it around. You get a few bites here and there. The crappie was still a little bit on the small side. You know, the big boys ain't really turned on yet, but it's getting closer and closer.
Joe, do crappie, now we all, I mean, we all know when the big spawn is, but do crappie kind of act like brim and do a little spawning, you know, throughout the fall at times?
I have never noticed it. I mean, sometimes you might see a little slight hint of yellow roe in there, but usually when I go to seeing that, that's way late in the fall, and all they're doing is getting ready for the spring, you know.
Right, right.
But I've never seen our fish over at Miller's Ferry spawn except during the spring. You know, I mean, like I said, sometimes you see a little slight hint of yellow in the roe, but it's usually generally not till spring.
How important is having live bait on Miller's Ferry?
This time of year, it is real important. You know, this is that time of year where live bait really pays off. But now another thing too is that you can enhance that live bait with a tube jig on there too. So you add more color and colors that they may key in on quicker with that live bait. Because, I mean, I've done it side by side with guys. I'll be catching 2 to 3 to 1 over them just because I got a tube on there with my minnow.
Okay.
But now, on the other hand, though, you take the minnow off, and sometimes then you won't get a bite at all. It's that still that live bait, that smell, that wiggle, but then that color will just enhance it a little bit.
It makes a lot of sense. On the offshore side of things, I used to love when it was legal to be able to put a cigar minnow on a jig when we were deep dropping, or big squid on a jig and that kind of thing. Can't do it now because you can't have a J-hook, but freshwater side, I know you can, so that makes a lot of sense. What about catfish? Is the jugging still going well?
It will still go on until we have, I say, our first bad high water, cold high water. So that'll sometime, you know, that could be
January maybe. That, or something.
Yeah, it could be late. And, but then up until then, you will still do good with the jugging out in the river. And when they make that next push after it cools off and you have a high water, it goes to making them migrate back, and then they'll go to thinking, you know, they'll go to kind of staging too, because then they actually will hit those flats earlier than most of the other fish. I mean, they'll be there in February sometime. So until you have that high water and a colder high water to push them on back, it'll continue on.
Joe, we were talking a couple of weeks ago about rigging those jugs, and, you know, we got into how long to have your lines and what type of weight. And you were talking about hooks, and one of the things I meant to ask you is, are you guys using a J hook or a circle hook?
No, circle hook. Circle hook is king.
Right.
And the way you tie your circle hook I'll catch more than some guys, because I snail mine where that the circle hook really works. I mean, if you don't snail it, I mean, it works, but to work even more effective, you need to tie a snail knot on it.
That's funny you say that, because I was actually talking with Devin Potts, who's one of the best blue marlin captains here on the Gulf Coast, and he was talking about that. When they were fishing for blue marlin, they make sure they always snell those big giant circle hooks on. They said their hookup ratio is just through the roof if they're snelled versus crimped on. So that makes a lot of sense. What about offsetting that circle hook a little bit? Do you do that?
Yes, I do. I mean, because what got me keyed in on that was we was out there snapper fishing, and you know, I had my hooks already rigged, and then one just broke off short on my leader. And I reached and got another hook, and, I mean, I was still getting strike after hit, good hit, and couldn't get the hook to set. And then when I come home after the weekend, I laid them down to see what the difference was. And one had more of a bend than the other. So I started bending all my others even just a little bit more.
Yep.
And it makes a big difference.
It makes a huge difference. All you got to do is just take your two pair of needle nose pliers, hook one on the shaft of that hook and one on the, you know, the bar bend of that hook, and just twist it just a little bit.
Exactly.
All right, Joe. Well, thanks for that report. Folks, y'all visit Joe up at Dunn Sports.